This is a HeadGum Original.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, the name of the show is If I Were You, and yeah, this is the first episode. So this is the first and only advice podcast on the internet.
From us.
Hosted by us. Yeah, exactly right. I'm Amir.
And I'm Jake.
If I were you, the show, a decade long, draws to its ending. For our friends, Jake and Amir, Starbucks suicide, is it impending?
Oh.
They've helped and mocked us all. They've answered each and every question and more, much more than this. They did it their way. Gold mics, Jake's one of few. Is this the time he takes a turdy? Shmuel, what's he have to do? So come on, Josh, this chipmunk's 40. Basil, Ben Schwartz, Middle Ditch, to name some guests, and of course Jake's mom, Game Boy, Croissant Crandis. They all did it their way. But what is this show? What has it got, if not coy Jews, then it has not. They say the things they truly feel, and give advice that maybe heals. Let the podcast close with this final show, as they do it their way.
Hugh Grant is 58.
Oh, okay.
He's here.
Yeah.
Oh. Love you. Okay. Kisses. I love my mother. Do you have a problem with that?
Cut him loose, Whitney.
We have a question from a lady.
I'm actually humbled, honored, and chuffed.
If I were you, Joe.
Wow. That was beautiful. It was a retrospective.
Thank you.
Walk down memory lane.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode.
Epic. Oh my God.
If you want to build a website. That was Matthew Kazakos. Let me pull that up.
Matt Kazak.
Yeah. I mean, we got a few theme song submissions that want it to be the final theme song.
Mm, so we're going to use all of them?
Not all of them, but we're going to hit the great ones. But I felt like that was the most ideal opening salvo.
Yeah, yeah. It had it all. It had my mommy's laugh.
It had your mom's laugh. It had us at the beginning from the first episode. And I think we do sound young. We sound a lot younger than we do now.
Yeah, definitely. We're little babies.
At the very least, me. Let me pull up this. So it's Matthew Kazakos. No plugs. But shout out to my brother Ben Kazakos for his help with the song. He's been a fan of yours since the beginning.
Cool.
So maybe he helped put together the highlights.
The Kazakos brothers.
Yeah. Did you get like the live show clips in there of like Hugh Grant is 58 and everyone went insane?
That was at the Gramercy, right?
Was it? Yeah. We had a guest. It was Ben, I think.
Ben and Thomas, yeah.
Yeah. The crowd, just hearing Siri go, Hugh Grant is 58. Yeah,
that should be our next podcast.
Just who's 58?
Who's 58? The show.
Wow. It's that easy?
Yeah.
But then people can cheat. Right. I guess we can roll dies.
Oh, yeah. You should roll a die.
D&D guess, style.
Right, to determine the number. You can roll a D100, actually.
So who's 100?
There has to be a celebrity who's 100.
Is there a celebrity that's 100?
It was almost Betty White.
The queen. Congrats on the amazing run. Thank you for all the laughs. We will miss this show and look forward to your next adventure. There you have it.
Respect. Thank you.
And we'll play a few other ones throughout this final episode as well.
Yeah.
Unless, should we just say, like, fuck it and do, like, seven more
songs?
No, seven more eps.
Oh, right. Well, we have to, because Squarespace is sponsoring a seven episode run.
Yeah, a nice extra order that you have to deliver while you're on paternity leave.
Right. They wanted me to host it with my daughter.
Yeah. Just, it's cute to imagine a newborn wearing little headphones.
Yeah, for cash.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
Your child hasn't been born yet.
No,
we should
not yet.
Say.
Yeah,
so she is leading up all the way, basically to the precipice.
This is the very last. I arguably shouldn't even be here right now, but I wanted to record the last episode in person.
Right, you're cutting it close. And actually, by the time this episode comes out, there is a world where she has been born.
For sure. There's a world where she's born by the time I finish recording this episode right now.
Yeah. By the way, are you on do not disturb mode? Because I know I don't want like text or stuff coming and being like,
so I am on do not disturb, but I have an exception for Jill. Yeah. So that's just if she goes into labor. Yeah. I have to finish this episode, do a couple more things around LA.
Just an ad. We have to get through the Athletic Greens ad.
Right? Yeah, I'm going to record all the ads and then I'll get home.
I wonder how it was like when our parents were, you know, having us as kids. Like, were our dads that casual? Because there was no cell phones at the time. Is it like, my dad's at work and I hope nothing happens. And if it does, we'll see you at 9 p.m. tonight.
Yeah, I feel like there were so many stories of dads missing births,
right?
And now it's like that's the last thing I could imagine doing.
Or like, he like gets to the waiting room and it's like, are they born yet? Like the doctor
smoking
comes
a cigarette, just finished golfing.
And then the idea of paternity leave just didn't exist.
Oh yeah, I'm taking a nice chunk of time for paternity leave.
Actually, we were talking about that, I think.
Oh yeah, our first guest is HeadGum's HR.
Which is just Marty letting you know that you're probably taking too much paternity leave. Mm-hmm. So we should bring this podcast back after what will probably be a 1 to 2 week hiatus, maybe. I'll probably sneak in a bonus episode or four.
Smart. Good. Yeah, two bonus episodes on a Thursday.
It is funny to call this episode the last episode ever, and then next week it's just like, we're back. It's like, sorry, did you think we didn't know what
we thought
happening?
It would drive up subscriptions. It really didn't, so we're just going to keep on keeping on.
It did make we got lucky with like Allison, Jill, Avital, like leading up to this episode. So it does feel like more substantial, more specific, more special.
Since we announced, was there anything that made you regret ending the show? Or
no.
do you feel 100% fine?
I'm at peace. Great. It has been nice that I'm getting like tweets and people posting to our subreddit being like, oh, this is a bummer. I listen every Monday night, have for the last 10 years, and it's gotten me through some stuff, and this is going to be sad when it's over.
all of those comments make me be like, oh, shit, I didn't realize you liked it. I'll keep on doing this show. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, those people who listen to the podcast once a week, they don't write in and be like, just wanted to let you know that I listen, and I'm glad that you're keeping it up.
Right.
You have to sort of threaten, and in this case, actually leave for them to miss you.
Right. Wow. We made good on our promise.
Yes. Although what we could have done was just say that we're leaving and then get all the adoration.
Right.
It's kind of like
going to your own funeral.
Yeah. When celebrities die, it's like, oh my God, I love this. And here's all these amazing stories about this celebrity. It's like, oh, why don't you tell this stuff while they were still alive?
Yeah.
This is like, we get to have that stuff while we're still alive.
Right.
But yeah, it's not like we got any.
That's another good idea for our next podcast. Eulogies.
Oh, that's pretty good.
We have a celebrity on every single week, and we just give we basically behave as if they're dead.
Yeah. So, that was a live show that I went to at I think Just for Laughs. They do like a living wake.
No, that's sick.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, this person is here. It was Bob Odenkirk. So it's like, this person is here, but we get to eulogize them while they're still around.
Wow. Yeah, that's cool. All right, great. So it already exists.
Yeah, but that just means it was parallel thinking. Right. So we didn't necessarily steal the
idea. Well, I was at
idea.
That show, which is annoying.
Yeah, you did co-produce for yeah. a few years before having a pretty bad falling out with the other executive producer.
That's right.
You said, you think you fucking own this idea? Watch this.
Just because you came up with it? I helped with the production. I did the hard part.
Although I am looking at our email and they're still just, it's still riddled with spam. So it doesn't feel like there's such an outcrying of support that we yeah. need to keep.
Yeah. Are you happy to never, ever look at this email again?
Yeah. I wonder if we will. It's like, it's been around for 10 years. There's 10 years worth of questions and history yeah. in this email box. Well, I just close my computer, just never log out.
Yeah.
All well, right.
It is a lot of spam at this point.
Yeah. It's mostly, a lot of spam. It's a graveyard. It's mm-hmm. bad. Yeah, it's like your old AOL email. If you ever right. like log in there, it's a ghost town.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. A criminal shagged my girlfriend.
Is that one of the questions?
Yeah. Well, it's actually, I guess, one we've answered before.
A criminal shagged my girlfriend.
Yeah. It looked like we answered it in 2019.
Oh.
And right. He did a follow-up pup.
Whoa.
I don't remember what the question was.
Okay.
I broke up with my ex 2 years ago. A few months ago after we broke up, I found out that she had cheated on me and one of my best friends. And a couple months after that, the person that she cheated on me with went to prison. I guess we answered this question 4 years ago.
It sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah. Maybe we answered it during a live show. And then this guy emails in again. I don't think I've ever heard you do a follow-up pup on the show, but with the advent of the end of the podcast, I thought I'd follow up with my previous email. You read my email at a live show with Thomas and Ben in 2019.
Oh, wow, that was the same show where we played 58.
Yeah, maybe so. Let's see. The convict, I went to... Oh, I guess go to a party to see them. So I went to the party, and guess what? The convict didn't even turn up. I guess he was afraid about going to a party and seeing the convict. I didn't have any awkward conversations about him fucking my ex. I didn't even have to beat the shit out of him. And oh yeah, I met the love of my frickin' life at this party. We hit it off immediately, and subsequently the next 3 years in a loving and committed relationship. And then I broke up with her last November. As it turns out, I am an immature piece of shit who is scared of commitment.
Mm.
There you have it.
Okay. Well, good on you for realizing that. But you weren't that scared of commitment. 3 years is a decent commitment. So.
Yeah. You can't be scared of commitment and be with someone for 3 years.
Yeah. Maybe you shouldn't be so hard on yourself. Maybe it ended for other reasons.
Anyway, this is If I Were You. Again, the only advice podcast on the internet hosted by us.
For now, for one last episode.
I didn't realize that was a joke from the first episode, too.
Oh, yeah. Hosted by us.
Yeah.
I also didn't realize that it was like a dual joke. I thought you just always said that.
Right. And then but it was, I said hosted by us, and then you said, or no, I said first podcast, advice podcast
on the internet. And I said from us.
Yeah.
And then you said, yeah, the first podcast, the first advice podcast hosted by us.
Yeah.
And then that's been your intro ever since.
That could be a good conceit for the next podcast, is just the second podcast hosted by us.
Right. Yeah. We should file that one away.
We bring it back and it's just called the Jake and Amir Advice Hour. This is the second advice podcast on the internet hosted by us.
That's actually not bad. Have you been thinking about new ideas for our next podcast?
Well, the idea of the live show is intriguing. The like it only existing at live shows, like a musical or like a live advice hour or something.
And we
like
did
that
at our Caveat live show last month. We did
the HeadGum Happy Hour.
Yeah, the HeadGum Happy Hour. We did basically like a Q&A when we hosted. It was like we're giving out advice.
Right.
So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So not actually changing the podcast, just changing the medium in which we give advice.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. So we can still do this show, but it's once every other month.
Yeah, live. As a live.
Would you fly to New York once every other month?
For a lot of cash, yeah. I wouldn't do it for free.
Right.
Yeah, nobody wants to sort of do a bi-monthly cross-country flight.
Yeah.
For no reason.
For no reason, yeah. But if we're selling out the Madison Square Garden every single time... Uh-huh. Then I feel like that's good.
The garden or the theater next to the garden?
I feel like either way, but I was thinking the
proper.
Theater. No, I was thinking the theater.
The theater, which is like 3,000 seats.
The theater's 3,000. What's MSG?
The arena?
Yeah,
it's probably like 18,505.
What does Billy Joel do?
Billy Joel sells out weeks and weeks and weeks
of
at
the arena. Yeah.
Yeah. Because right. Billy Joel is insanely famous, successful, and popular.
Right. I'm not saying he's not.
Yeah.
Why do you think I'm? Do you think I'm saying he's not?
I'm saying
that
don't lump
he
us
is,
into that.
I'm
train of thought even.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Don't use that as a benchmark. Billy Joel trying to figure out how many tickets.
Billy Joel's
a
world class talent. Do you disagree?
We sold 111 tickets at. Last
a caveat.
Yes.
But we sold them out.
Yes.
So there wasn't more tickets available. So we don't know how many more we could sell.
Not 21,000. And I'm just saying, yeah. But Billy Joel can, of course.
He's in the arena. Yes. And I said we'd start in the theater.
We're not starting in the theater. The theater would be pipe dream fucking
MSG.
Pie theater. In the sky. Couldn't believe we
3,000
sold
3,000 seats.
Yeah. There's no way.
To see us. And I'm not saying that we open for Billy Joel.
Because we can't, because we're not musicians.
But I'm saying, if he is already selling out the arena, then if we open for him, we don't even really have to worry about selling the tickets, because his name ID is helping us with the ticket sales, but we're helping him by entertaining his audience, so he'll cut us in. I'm not saying 50-50, because I feel like he's done a lot of the heavy lifting. He has an amazing catalog. Piano Man.
Yes.
He has River of Dreams.
Uptown Girl.
Uptown Girl.
It's a never-ending stream of hit after hit. Yeah.
Like, obviously,
and
he's
going to be singing the songs. There's no way he's going to invite us on stage to be, like, doing, like, an opening fucking
karaoke
version.
Because I don't even know all of the words to Uptown Girl.
Yeah, you know, like, the fucking chorus.
Uptown Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But how does it start? Like...
I think it starts with Uptown
and
Girl.
And when she loves.
And you can't do that
actually
on stage.
I think
maybe I do know most
but
of the words.
Yeah,
it's not that.
But you wouldn't do that live.
Not that hard,
you would
to
practice.
Be fair. To
you
be perfectly
practice
fair,
the songs,
practice
so you would
and I'd be good at it on
And
the
I wonder
day.
If he even has a fucking teleprompter.
I wonder if he even just does fucking lip syncing, because he's done this show so many times. They probably have a recording, and then I could do the lip syncing, and he wouldn't even have to be there.
Yeah, I don't even know the difference between Billy Joel and Bruce Springsteen at this point. Like,
right.
To me, they're just sort of like this amorphous.
Is either of those. Guys.
Exactly.
It's like one's Jersey,
one's
Long Island.
And it feels like the same thing, and it occupies the same part of my brain space.
Right. But he's selling out MSG, and I'm saying we, in tandem with Joel.
Joel, Billy,
could,
yeah,
Mr. Billy Joel, we could do that, not sell it out, but be a part of the act.
Of the show.
And then he'd have to cut us in to ticket sales, to merch, obviously. Because
I would fly for that, I think. I would do it by, because then I would time it so it's like the beginning of April, the end of May.
Because then even if he's like splitting that up with merch and stuff, you're probably clearing like, you know,
do you think
five,
there's a chance we would
a
see?
Night.
Yeah, is there a chance they would fly me out first class? And there would be, is there like this world, or is there a chance where we see someone like a Jen Aniston in the green room?
Right. Yeah, because I feel like MSG, New York-based celebrities, they're gonna want to go to a show. You know, Paul Rudd's going to take his aunt to
Right,
to
he wants to be Bill, there, and he wants to be seen.
Right.
I wonder if there's a world where I even kiss Aniston, even on the cheeks or on the lips, as like a hello or a goodbye.
I think if you
kind of like
run
how
in,
celebrities do.
Yeah, I feel like you fly from Los Angeles, first class.
Yeah.
You have a town car picking you up
at
JFK.
Yeah,
You're arriving.
Navigator is sort of like a low
it's a
ride.
Lincoln, no, it's a Lincoln.
Town,
it's a Lincoln
country,
town car. Low, because it's only you, and they got to weave in and out of traffic.
Yeah.
And you arrive at
Tinted
the green.
Windows.
Excuse me. You arrive at the green.
I'm wondering if I kiss Aniston.
I'm telling you, having not had.
So
you're
I'm
having,
sort of hungry.
You're a little hungry. You're peckish.
Yeah.
You did have the meal on first class.
It's a nice meal. But it's not like a super
it's
filling
not dinner.
Meal.
It wasn't dinner. It
There's
was
a roll. At the end of the day, it's still mostly a roll and salad.
Exactly. So you're feeling a little cranky. And then they say,
I'm hangry and I'm eager to kiss an Aniston type. And I'm wondering if that should be on
and
the lips.
And then you're
or
having
the
shrimp cocktail in the green room.
Yeah, and I feel like kind of like, whoa, how long has that been out there?
Yeah.
Because Springsteen, or is it fucking Joel
then,
at this point? Who are we even talking about?
It's
he
Joel.
Never touches
it's Joel.
The seafood.
Yeah. And Aniston walks in and she says, oh, hi, you're the opening act. I just wanted to say good luck.
Yeah.
It's weird for you to not be like,
oh my God.
You know, Jen, you know, you have to like, when you see that kind of celebrity and they're seeing you in your green room before your show, you kind of have to like, I feel like you have to
I wonder
be
if
like,
I kiss
oh
her.
Yeah, like we, I
I'm
know
wondering
you.
If I kiss
you know,
her.
We would run in the same circles.
Do you think I would kiss her?
You say, it's good to see you. You don't even say, I'm Amir. Like, you,
you
say,
don't even introduce yourself.
No, because
it says it on the sign.
She's a star, and she's probably been at so many soirees.
Am
and
I still
galas.
Hungry?
You're,
I
no, you've
if
had,
I'm
you've
hungry
had,
I've had
you have had at this point.
At this point, I've had shrimp.
You've had shrimp.
Yeah. Because yeah. I'm wondering if I should kiss her at this point.
That's the issue. You do have some cocktail sauce on your chin, and you're dabbing it with a napkin.
Yeah.
But she caught you by cloth surprise. So she is.
There's no way Joel is using anything like that, less than a cloth napkin.
It's but you to have to say, Jen, it's good to see you. She doesn't know if you've met before. Maybe you have. Maybe you guys went to the Met together. Who
or we could
knows?
Say, like, we have common friends. Like, oh, I know somebody who knows Justin Theroux.
I go swimming with Schwimmer.
Yeah, and like, that's cool. Yeah. I'll say I go swimming with Schwimmer. And then at that point, do I kiss?
Double kiss. That's what I'm saying. Double kiss. Good to see you. And then you pull back and you realize there is cocktail sauce on her cheek because you had cocktail sauce on you. Then you dab with your napkin. You say, sorry, I stuck you with some cocktail sauce.
That's cool.
And then she laughs it off.
This is an idea for our next show? Or do you think that was just you walking me through what I think might happen if we end up opening for Joel or whoever?
Like, well, no, I think that's our life if this is our next show. If we decide to do the live show every month, every other month at Caveat, the 100-person venue in the Lower East Side, we eventually get
to the point where
you're necking with Aniston.
I wouldn't even hate that. Even if it took years to get there, I feel like that's ultimately fine for me because I'm having the shrimp, I'm on the flight.
You're on the first class flight, you are in the town car, you are in the green room with Aniston. Mm. You are background singing on Uptown Girl. Mm. You steal the show. People say, who is that background singer covered in shrimp cocktail? Who's that shrimp
and
band?
When she glows up, she makes up her mind.
You're pointing at Aniston.
She's like...
Like Courtney Cox and the Bruce Springsteen
music video.
Music video, yeah.
That's Springsteen, though.
See, adjacent.
Yeah, Cox on Springsteen is the same shit as fucking Aniston and Joel, and I just happened to be there.
Exactly.
That's exciting. Okay, I mean, maybe it is good that we're ending the show then, because I feel like as long as we keep this up,
sky's the limit.
Now our anchor this program is no longer attached to our person, our talents,
right?
And our talent can now take off and fly in a different way.
Finally.
And it doesn't feel as sad because, you know, we're still noodling on what our next project will be.
Yeah.
So while this is ending, it doesn't mean, you know, our creative endeavors are coming to a halt either.
Yeah. To me, it almost feels a little bit freeing. I think, you know, in one sense, it feels like not having this show allows us more time and creative freedom to think about the next thing.
Right.
In another, we are still busy with other creative projects in addition to this show.
Mm.
So my hope is that losing the show doesn't make us just like have better relaxed time, you know?
Right. It's like the thing where it's like somebody pushes a deadline a week. It's like, am I actually going to spend a week working on this thing, or am I just going to spend the last day regardless of if it's this week or
will
next?
We fill the couple hours we usually dedicated for this show with other creative work or looking at our phones?
Probably the phones thing.
Yeah.
So does that mean we have to actually cut ourselves off from any, not only work, but creative and familial social friendship obligations? Like, is there a world where we have to just completely move into a house together?
Yeah. It would be really weird timing for me to do that after Jill has our baby.
After she has had.
Yeah. For me to be like, I think I need to go on a spirit quest with
this is all too much.
And I love what it's happening. I love the family thing. Yeah. But I'm going to go live in a cabin with Blumenfeld and see if we can write a script.
Yeah. See if we can break this fucking musical once and for all.
But I mean, I also would like doing something like that once. I think I've been thinking about spending extended time in Los Angeles next year when the baby can travel and stuff.
With child,
with Jill, with the dog even, but just like spend a couple months in the winter out here.
Mm.
And that could be a nice way to live. And then we could also dedicate more time. Cause it's tough. Like, you know, we're just gonna hop on Zoom and like be creative for an afternoon.
Yeah.
That's not really that fun.
That doesn't spark joy either.
Right. But me coming into this office and us sitting in a conference room and talking. Yeah.
A whiteboard.
Yeah.
That's with ideas.
That's cool. And that's also the kind of thing we can do when you come to New York every other month for our MSG theater show, or Caveat show, I guess I should say.
But, yeah, Caveat show for sure.
Actually, it's going to be at the Bell House in in the summer.
That's one step up.
That's one step up. That's like 400 or 500 seats.
You think we'll sell that out or sort of keep it at the 120 mark?
I think we can sell it out.
Okay, cool.
I'd like to not be embarrassed by saying that. So everybody hopefully will show up.
Yeah. Tickets at headgum.com/live. Not now, but in the not.
Yes, but they will be. So yes. Bookmark that page.
Have you been talking to new fathers to sort of get a sense of how much obligation is ahead of you in the next however long?
Yeah, I have been talking to, I feel like I talk, I'm listening to a dad like podcast right now.
A dadcast?
Yeah, called Dadsplained. I don't know how, I think it started in like 2018. I have no idea if they're still making episodes, but I just like looked up best podcast for new dads.
Oh, that's cool.
And there was a bunch that were like, Charlie and Billy tell the best dad jokes, and like it's a comedy podcast about being a dad. I'm like, I definitely don't want that.
Yeah. I want to be like, it's 2 weeks in, here's what's going to happen.
Yeah. And these like sweet little guys from Atlanta, I think, they're just the ones I listened to so far, two episodes where they share their birth stories.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm thinking about now.
One step at a time.
Yeah. Felt like the last few weeks was me prepping the nursery, all the baby gear, organizing all the closets.
Yeah.
And I was really overwhelmed by that. But now that's all done.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, all right, you know, 2 weeks ago, I finally looked up like how to get to the hospital that we're delivering at.
Yeah,
I looked
up, like, have the route.
I have to have the route. And now I know, like, okay, if it's between 9 and 6, there's a valet, and otherwise I'll have to park. So maybe we should take it. But I know all these things now. Yeah. That I was like, I have no fucking idea.
That's very one step at a time. Like, that's that problem will exist once. Yeah. And then in like 2 weeks after the baby's born,
Jill goes to labor. It's 7 a.m. I'm like, great. You're going to labor for 2 hours at home. Then valet's open and we're good.
Yeah.
But yeah, if it's Saturday at 2 a.m.,
help. Yeah. Daddy, how do I raise her now?
But yeah, I've been talking to, listening to those dads, talked to some new dads that we know.
Yeah.
I talked to like my older cousin who has like, you know, 12 and 13 year old kids.
If he remembers.
Yeah, I was like, is any advice? And he's like, everything's going to be fine. And I'm like, that's my favorite. He's like, you know, you're going to stress out about a lot of stuff, but really everything's fine. And I was like, I don't know if anyone else would consider that good advice, but that's exactly what I need to hear.
Yeah.
It's like, just don't get worked up about these little things because it's all going to work out.
Well, everybody's exactly where they are in the journey. So if he has a 12 and a 13-year-old, he's like, I don't fucking care about an infant anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, I also remember seeing other friends of mine, like, you know, have a baby and just be so anxious about, like, holding the baby. Yeah. And they're like, okay,
do you know how to change a diaper?
I know that I have changed a diaper before.
Right.
I don't know how to do it. No. But they also, you spend 2 days in the hospital and the nurse like teaches you how to swaddle the baby, how to change the baby. I've watched a YouTube video. I watched my friend John change his kid.
That's good.
So like, I think I get it.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of thing that is like, at the end of the day, it's not that hard. You just need to do it repeatedly. And I think that ends up happening.
Yeah, it seems like the first 3 months are just like an activity that's happening every 3 hours on a loop. It's more of like a psychological difficulty.
Yeah.
The kid's not like running around or yelling or being mean. You have to figure out. It's just like this, I have to keep this little thing alive.
And it sounds, to me, I feel like that's going to be the most stressful part because like you're watching the kid breathing. It's like, oh, this is so sweet. It's like, well, are these breaths too shallow?
Like, get his temperature.
Is that fast? Is that normal? everything that happens, I'll just be like, haha, that's sweet. Is it normal? Is that good?
Avital's mom had a funny line. She's like, once you have a kid, you never sleep again. I was like, that sounds kind of stressful, actually.
Yeah.
And you never sleep again.
But I've also heard from people that have like their second kid and their third kid, they're like, your first kid is like you're anxious, you're learning everything, you're stressed, you're like want everything to be perfect, you buy all the right gear, and then they're like second kid, third kid, it doesn't matter.
Right.
They don't care anymore.
Your parents had six.
Yeah, my parents had six, and I talked to them about like just because like we're buying, you know, we have a bottle warmer and a bottle sterilizer and like a special little cage for all the stuff to get like put in the dishwasher so it doesn't mix with other stuff.
All the stuff we didn't have in the 80s.
And I was
and
like,
90s.
There's no way that my mom had a bottle sterilizer. I can't remember any of this. And she was like, oh yeah, when we had Hannah, we like rented a crib from the from Stanford College for $1 a day,
right,
or $1 a month or something like that. A
lot of new products in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Self-moving this, smart cribs, like apps that you say, okay, when did she eat? When did she poop? When did
right.
she do this?
A camera that just goes above the, like the, it used to be the baby monitor. I remember when my brother was born, they had like the baby monitor. It's just like, you could hear if he's crying.
Yeah.
But now there's like a bird's eye view above the baby. There's a crib that rocks the baby.
Right. If they stir, they rocks the baby.
Yeah. I mean, right now we have two strollers and three different attachments. And I'm like, I know for a fact. We bought one new thing when the triplets were born, and my mom got like a 3-baby stroller.
And we did all right.
Yeah.
We did fine.
I mean, I'm fucked, but everyone else is good.
5 out of 6 is a pretty high success rate when it comes to children.
For sure.
That would have been a good new podcast, too, if we were both having children at the same time.
Yeah. Well, you're getting married. That's kind of a big one.
Yeah, but there's no podcast to be had about somebody who's just married and somebody who had a kid. Like, I feel like from living together to marriage is not that huge of a step. From married to kid is a quantum leap.
Both of us being dads. That
would have been good.
That would have been good, but you couldn't hack it.
We could share the child,
share custody.
I wonder if there's a world where I raise, because then you guys have a week off, and then I'm stressed out about the child, and then you have the child, and I have the week off.
That is interesting.
That way, and then you're not on high alert for like 18 years straight.
And then we eventually interview my daughter for the show, and we're
who turned out, which one was better?
Yeah. settle this bet, or were we both assholes for doing this?
I just liked the moms, actually. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, really? I could see that, because we did spend a good year and a half.
I got you a free Helix, didn't I? Darling,
<you? laughs> I don't know, everything is free for me until I'm 29.
Oh, I guess it was free for me.
Which is more important if you think about it. All right, I guess we should take a break. Why the fuck not? Thanks to sponsors. We still have some advertisers after all.
That was our last first act of this show.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy how Unreal. Fast that happened. And then we'll come back and talk more, I guess, after these messages.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. They have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace.
Yes.
That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like,
interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's it's an anti-movement, really.
Oh,
it's a non-movement
good.
Movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems like it should
be. I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Antimovement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay, I wouldn't. But so
it's more
fitness
of a fitnessnah.com.
Yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. comfortable. Ah.
And we're back. Yeah. We've already dispensed every unsolicited advice we have.
That's true.
From water pick all the way back to a new water pick.
Yeah.
We're empty.
I've gotten three water picks since we met recommended.
I'm all out of wisdom.
What water pick do you use now?
It's some sort of Sonicare portable, but I have to charge it. But once it's charged, you know, you can pick it up and use it on the go.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
All right. So you had an email that you wanted to read.
Yes.
From your dad.
From my father, who started listening to the show, I guess, in the last few years.
So he didn't listen back in the day when we were calling him a pumpkin a lot.
I think he did. I think he listened to that because my mom would listen and he would hear it.
Yeah.
And then he came to the live shows where he was called a gourd mm-hmm. and stuff. And
he was a character in our universe,
a caricature. Mm-hmm. And then I think he started. You know what? It was when my parents moved from New Haven back into Hamden.
Okay.
And his work commute got a little bit longer that he started listening.
Wow.
So anyway, him and my sister Sarah, who have listened to every episode, or I guess I don't know if he's listened to every episode, but anyway, him and my sister Sarah are the current listeners to the show.
Yeah.
And both of them were kind of like surprised when they found out it was ending.
Yeah.
And those were the only two people that I felt bad. I was like, oh shit, should I not stop the show? I feel bad. It's nice that I get to talk to my sister and my dad once a week.
Yeah. You don't actually talk to them. I talk to them. Listen.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're like, shit, now I have to fucking call my sister.
I hate to do that. Love you, Sarah. Okay. So my dad wrote in, and the subject is what's next?
Ooh.
And he says, I think this is a suggestion.
Oh.
A couple of years ago, as I suggested a Jake and Amir variety type show.
Can you do an impression of him just so I can read it in his voice?
Okay. A couple of years ago, I suggested a Jake and Amir variety type show, not unlike the Smothers Brothers, which had a nice mix of comedy, music, and topical humor. Was the topical humor that got them canceled. I still think
Brothers or us?
Both. I still think a good variety show is a good idea.
Yeah.
It has to be a good variety show.
Because if it fails, it'd be like, see, it was a bad variety show.
I told you it needed to be good.
Yeah.
Part of the show could be you guys chatting, maybe more scripted. Maybe you could even answer a question or two, a la Carol Burnett, who I don't know.
He's so old. Like, we don't get these references. Ugh.
Length could be as short as half an hour in order to prevent quantity from overtaking quality.
Mm.
So I feel like he's almost suggesting this show, except with music and a half an hour long.
Well, the live show aspect of it is kind of what you were eager to do as well.
Yeah.
So it's like a variety show that only exists as a stage show.
Right.
So it's like it opens with a Jake and Amir live sketch.
Oh.
Then it's like, you know, applause and the intro. And then we come out and we answer some questions. Then we sit down with an interview, like a guest interview. So it's sort of a variety show.
It is a variety show.
It's like a live show.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
This is a great idea from my dad. I think, yeah, it feels like it's kind of what we're planning on doing for the live show. We just need to add in maybe the topical thing.
Yeah.
Like a monologue, right?
Yeah, a monologue where it's like, have you guys seen this? This is features.
Right. Because every variety show, while it has like interchangeable parts, it has the consistent thing. It's got a monologue.
Yeah. Well, that's a talk show, not a variety show.
Oh, okay.
A variety show is kind of like he mentioned, like in the 70s.
It's literally anything, anytime?
It's like more sketches and like songs and
SNL a variety show?
SNL, I'd call it a sketch show. But yeah, I bet it's like modeled after because it's got some music guests and some sketches and some.
Okay, so we have opening sketch.
Yeah.
We have, or I guess, does it need to have a format then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
Needs to have a format for sure.
For sure, for sure.
Otherwise, you're just on stage and be like, now what?
Well, yeah, then you could just do, you know, different 5 to 10 minute things, mm-hmm. segments. Mm-hmm. That's a variety show.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to be like always a monologue, always a music, always a sketch.
Yeah, it's like a little, it is exactly that. It's a variety. It's like, all right, now let's throw to a pre-taped video that we shot. Now this is like a man on the street thing. Now it's like, all right, now I'm talking to the audience. Now I'm dancing. Now I'm kissing somebody. Like if it's a Jen Aniston thing, it's like
me
kissing Jen Aniston on stage or whatever.
You're obsessed with that. But yeah, I like, so, all right, sweet. So we just need to do a live monthly, bi-monthly variety show.
Yes, exactly.
Then that becomes a TV show as it gets really popular, as it sells out MSG Theater, not the arena.
Exactly. It's like the Jake and Amir family fuck fest or something like that.
Yeah.
I think the Brady Bunch used to
I feel like my shit. Dad actually, the subject was, I said what's next, but it was because I censored it. It was the Jake and Amir family fuck fest is what he had said.
I can't believe it.
Parallel thinking again.
Yeah. And then we can also do it occasionally on a yacht.
I wish we had, because I watched, I remember my dad telling me about the Smothers Brothers a while ago. And I think I've sent you a video too, but like they were musically talented in a way that I wish we were. That if we had that in our arsenal, I think we'd be a lot stronger.
Yeah, if we were like the Bo Burnham type where it's like, oh, I'm funny, but then also I can write a really catchy song so that when I can.
And I feel like only one of us knows how to sing. And you don't have any musical talent, but I do.
It's hard to be off tune in like such a short, because it's not even, it's completely in a vacuum and yet it still doesn't feel.
I didn't get like counted in and I don't have my ukulele right now.
Yeah.
So I feel like.
Your uke?
I feel like if I had my ukulele and, or if I had my maracas, then I could have, I have a flute and I have a recorder, I meant to say, not a flute, but yeah, that was awkward because, because I just went in so cold and I didn't, you know those like, that little like whistle?
Kazoo.
No, it's like the little whistle that like, this is the
sets the note.
Yeah. Then it's like, I didn't hear that. It's hard to go in a cappella and you drain all of the fucking like energy from a room. So I feel like.
I mean,
you didn't even count me in.
you launched into it out of nothing, out of thin air. So it would have been more than just the single note that you needed to hear. Yeah. You need voice lessons.
I don't need voice lessons. I know how to sing. I'm pretty musically talented. It's weird to do it in this room when you're like fucking stiff as a board right now.
Yeah, light as a feather.
It's like it's hard to like, you know, have a duet with somebody. If I had like,
we have 10 years of chemistry on the show. So like if it's not happening here.
You have like such an absence of musical talent that actually drains me of mine.
Like it feels like, hole.
I'm like for some reason sharing half of my music ability with you while we're sitting here.
Yeah.
So it's like, I bet we probably both have a bad voice. But when I leave the
room. I bet we probably both have a bad voice.
When I leave the room, when I'm singing alone in my car, when I'm singing in my shower, I'm actually pretty good.
I doubt it. I just think it sounds better for you because nobody's there listening to you.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of songs, why don't we play another theme song somebody submitted?
Oh, all right.
This is also from a Matthew.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Because if I were you, the show is starting.
Sometimes I wonder what I'm doing with my life.
I'm Amir.
And I'm Jake.
Sometimes I wonder what I'm doing.
And we are
Amir and Jake.
Sometimes I wonder what I'm doing with my life.
And our names go in no other order.
Sometimes I wonder what I'm doing.
We read the emails and try to answer the funniest questions.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'm excited to share what I know, project that onto other people's situations that I probably know nothing about.
So why don't we get started?
Sometimes I wonder what I'm doing with my life.
SeizeTheCheese.com is available.
Holy shit.
Pitch the pitch. Pitch money money. 'Twould be an honor to find a genie so that I may grant you the other two wishes, for I have but one. It is to die in Raven Nest.
I am the Game Boy, and I have a game for you today.
Zerd, dude, maybe like a PB&J and cut the cross move. Seriously.
In a new Bugatti, mama.
Guyton ice and liquid nice. ABD.
Always be damned.
The prank war videos were all fake. They were not real.
Prank fake. Now that's a bit of a bombshell.
A sample of ample eggs
is an example.
May of 2013 to the end of April of 2023. If I reuse over.
Advice podcast on the internet, hosted by
Some great clips in there too.
That was a fucking, at the end of Terminator 2 when he's like turning into every old bit as he's dying.
It was so a medley.
Like, yeah, there was some stuff that I had forgotten about. Raven Nest.
Raven Nest. To Raven Nest.
Yes, exactly. Yes. A house that was so beautiful that we were willing to kill ourselves to just die there.
Yes, it was Valhalla.
Yeah, Raven's Nest.
Wow.
Which was a house on Inverness.
Yes, but we were afraid to shout it out because we thought there was a chance we could end up living there.
We didn't want to risk it.
You know what's funny? We ended up living in a place that was not... Oh, wait, no, it was almost half as expensive as Raven Nest.
Yeah, I mean, Raven Nest was like $10,000 a month.
It was 12.
Yeah. And yeah. We're just like, should we just pump everything into this rental?
It's good that
it's
we didn't because...
dope house with a pool.
It was such a sick house. But yeah, we probably would have gone out of business, huh?
Yeah, we wouldn't have been able to afford that house and a lifestyle plus a HeadGum company.
Yeah, yeah. And we ended up with a really nice house, but there was no pool.
No pool, but it was a mansion that we couldn't afford. We had to spend some HeadGum money to like say like, okay, it's also our business, plus we live here.
Which was what we were planning on doing at Inverness too, except we would have then still been destitute even after we helped pay the rent.
I mean, for the first year of HeadGum, it was just our show and nine others trying to make enough money to justify. Did we even have a salary then? Did we have like a low salary?
We didn't have a salary, no. I think because we were still working at College Humor. Mm-hmm. We didn't take a salary, but maybe we like, when payments for our show came in, we paid ourselves out a little bit, but we kept, I don't remember when we like set up payroll. It wasn't for a while.
Yeah. Because we didn't have any employees. It was
no,
just me.
And I don't think
Marty.
We got a salary. I think we just always did like random payouts whenever we needed money.
Yeah.
But we had like most of it in there.
A Google sheet of income and outcome.
Yeah. I was almost thinking of, because when we were talking about how to end the show, I was like, oh, we could go, you know, era or year by year or something. But I almost feel like it's better to just go where we were living by where we were living.
Yeah. That's the best way to like try to figure out where you were in the world, like how it felt when we were in Williamsburg still recording the show. I feel like a young, like 19-year-old, even though I was almost 30.
Yeah, but I remember we would record. We didn't really have a dedicated space because I was living in the loft on Wythe. You were living on Berry Street around the corner.
Right.
We would set up the towel fort in your house.
And we had this like, instead of a little Zoom recorder, we had this like big, I asked Jeff Rubin like how to plug, because the mics I thought would plug into the computer, but they don't. They plug into this giant thing that then plugs into my computer.
Right. We had a big ass mixer.
Yeah. And like the mics were so like, they looked cool, but they were like gold and green. And like you still needed a pop guard and a stand for them. It was
they
so
were really
much work.
Cumbersome. They looked really cool. I think we got them because they looked cool.
Yeah.
and then I moved down into that like weird house covered in ivy.
Yeah.
And I remember like, I was still partying and being so insane then. Like
this is in New York.
Yeah, this is in New York. There were times when we would like, you'd come over to record and I was like barely, I was like, all right, but we have to do it right here. I can't get up.
Yeah, you were hungover.
I can't move. So hungover.
We also didn't have ads for like the first 6 or 12 months. So like,
was
I don't know what was
I thought we got ads
regular.
Like kind of quickly.
Yeah.
Maybe not 12 months. Maybe it was 6 months in.
But there were like times where we were like, we got to get this done every Monday, but we didn't really
have
like
any reason.
We owed
to.
Any money or we had a company to keep.
Yeah, I think it was good that we had Jake and Amir that came out every Tuesday because we were just used to delivering something on a deadline.
Yeah. And we still have, we've basically had that deadline since 2006 or seven.
Yeah. There were some times that we recorded a lightning round Q&A on a Monday.
Right, just to keep the streak alive.
Yeah.
Does the Patreon count? Because that'll be the only weekly thing we have going now.
I feel like we release a weekly something.
Yeah.
We've done something weekly since 2008. I think the Patreon has to count.
It has to count.
I think it counts.
It definitely counts.
I mean, that's a video. It's more ambitious than a podcast, though this podcast is also a video.
Yeah. If you guys are listening right now, just know you can be watching. And that's kind of goes for the last 100 episodes you can be watching. Regrets? Have you had a few?
Regrets.
Do you wish you could do anything differently?
I don't think so. I mean... I it's hard to say. I'm sure there were definitely times that I was like stressed. I know there was a time I think right before my wedding, HeadGum was struggling. Oh yeah, I was not regretting the wedding, but HeadGum was struggling, and we were cutting personal checks to the company to keep it afloat.
Yeah.
And and I was like, we should have just kept our podcast separate, because then we wouldn't have had to like
sacrifice.
Yeah, we wouldn't have had to like have our ad income pay for the whole company. We would have just been like just me and Amir off on our own. Mm-hmm. But like weathering that storm and now having the Bi-Coastal offices and all the employees, I'm happy that I didn't listen to my regret. I guess I had doubts throughout, but yeah. Looking back now, I don't know if I have specific regrets. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, same. Like we, in the beginning, like buying the equipment and being so uncertain about like how to edit and how to do that, like it probably would have helped us to have a producer at one point, because we were literally doing it all ourselves.
Yeah.
Not really a regret, but usually shows of our like size or scope like would have somebody on the email box like making sure that we're reading all the good emails, or like scheduling guests or scheduling ads or something like that. And it took all the way to like 2 or maybe like 3 years ago that like we had like Grim editing the show for us. Like I was editing everything up until 2021.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And now that HeadGum is big enough to have like producers and engineers, we're stopping the show.
Yeah. Now that we finally have help, we're good.
Yeah. But yeah, maybe doing more video stuff earlier on, but then that would have been more work.
Yeah.
Our microphones were pretty broken back in the day. That was not ideal. We should have just splurged on these microphones from the get-go.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess doing video podcasts earlier would have been good.
Yeah. At the very least, an intern on the email box. We were just like opening up the email box.
Yeah. We had your niece do an internship for like 3 or 4 weeks one summer. She cleaned it out immediately.
Yeah.
We should have hired her
on the spot.
Yeah.
12-year-old helper / engineer / producer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Everything led to us getting here, but I'm sure there's a lot of things that we could have / should have done differently back in the day.
Yeah. But I mean, all of the stuff we got to do, like going to Australia, going to London, going to Amsterdam,
yeah,
having a weird show in Amsterdam,
yeah,
that was good. Awesome. Yeah, it was great times.
That was almost the impetus for the show, is be able to tour without paying College Humor.
Yeah, yeah, which is so funny. The idea just came from Andrew Russell,
our touring agents. Like as long as you're at College Humor, every live show is just going to be them getting paid and you getting a small chunk of that money.
Right.
So if you guys had your own thing, we could just tour with that.
Yeah. And now we're selling out fucking Madison Square Garden.
We're still not doing that.
But like still.
Yeah, we're still not doing that.
Yeah. But Billy Joel is.
Yeah. Billy Joel definitely is.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Okay. What about the opposite of regrets? Things that you're proud / impressed of us to do.
I mean, I think the like going on the HeadGum company retreat with all of our employees, when I see our employees hanging out with each other and I'm not around, and I see them like making friendships and enjoy and being fulfilled by their lives and jobs, I'm really happy. I feel like that was something that was so meaningful and exciting to me when I was at College Humor.
Right.
Like that was where when I was in my 20s, met all of my best friends who are like lifelong friends of mine. So thinking that we might be able to provide that for younger people, that's awesome to me.
Yeah. I guess just the idea of taking our one podcast and turning it into HeadGum at the beginning was this a bright idea, and keeping the podcast consistent enough that we can grow HeadGum from that. And now it's cool because HeadGum is so big and so much bigger than us,
yeah,
that we can literally stop our show.
Yeah.
It's like
the end goal.
Yeah, it's kind of like having a child where it's like when it's an infant and it's a toddler, it's like it's relying on you so much. And now it's like
our network is going to camp.
Yeah. And now it's college. Like, we're stopping the show. And everyone's like, what's that? Oh, yeah. Sorry to hear that. Anyway, we got more important things to deal with, though.
Oh, that small show isn't recording anymore.
That's fine. Really? Because we thought you guys would be devastated.
No one wants to beg us to stay.
How will you guys stay afloat is all.
Who are you again?
I used to work here. I really used to work here.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's something to be proud of. Trying to think what else I was. Traveling and touring is also always something that I, that's like a fun meeting people that listen to the show and like going to a cool new city and getting to perform in front of people.
Those are the highlights.
Highlights for sure.
Yeah. And then I also was listening to old episodes, aside from the fact that we sound like we're 12-year-olds on helium, we're like recording on the road. So much of our early recordings, it's like, hey, we're in Australia and we packed our bags and we packed our mics and we packed our Zoom. And now I'm like recording in a hotel with Streeter.
Yeah. Batch recording. We basically never batch recorded until I moved to New York. And even still then, we didn't always. Mm-hmm. Batch recording has actually probably been more of something we've done since we started doing video.
Yeah.
Or maybe again, since Grim started editing the show.
The producers like, and the engineers.
Right, because it's helpful for them to have the footage and the audio more than a day in advance.
I think it was hard to show how stressed we kind of were like at the beginning where I'm like, I'm plugged in. Can you hear me? I hope this is working. So I'm like trying to be funny and host the show, but also kind of scared that it's not recording or doing well. Especially like I remember when we were recording with Allison in the hotel. We're having a good episode. I'm like, I don't think this is recording. Like, I'm sorry, but
did it not record?
Like, her microphone wasn't working. Oh. It was like cutting in and out. And I didn't know if it was the cable. That. But it was like, we have no like. I like to ask smart people why something is broken.
Right,
it was
just us three in a hotel room. That's why it was so nice when we recorded at Rec Room for you.
Right, I was like, oh, this is great. Somebody else is in charge of making it sound nice.
Yeah.
And now we have our own Rec Room.
Isn't that crazy?
We made it this far.
Yeah.
All right, future. I guess the idea was to sort of talk about the past, act one, present, act two, future, act three.
Future, act three. Well, we have our variety show premiering at Bell House, I believe in August.
The Jake and Mir Family Fuck Fest.
Yeah.
Well, I think that just might be a HeadGum happy hour.
Right. But still, it'll be us testing out a format.
You know, we could also go full Brady Family mode where it's like most of it is just us and our friends singing and dancing. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So we're just like disco style standing on a stage doing dances for everybody.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do that at the Bell House and just not even have seats. So everyone in the crowd is also dancing.
Yeah.
I wonder if that would be fun.
Remember If I Were You, the live shows we did were sketches.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had to like write and rehearse. And we had to like get lines.
We used to do
down.
So that was the College Humor live at UCB. There'd be like a host, there'd be three comedians, and then we would close with like a Jake and Amir sketch.
Right.
And then we also went on tour with Streeter, where you and I started the show. We did like a 10-minute Jake and Amir. Streeter did an act, and then at the end we hosted Shameful Trivia.
Right. Which was kind of a podcast.
Which was kind of a podcast. But yeah, we used to have to write, and that most of the time we would write something that was like, oh, text chick, and we're like reading text off of our phone.
Yeah.
Because then that way we didn't have to remember lines.
Right. And then it would always end with some sort of
it was a rattle. Yeah. Yeah. The rap that you sang at the end of those shows is in my head forever.
How did it start?
Yo ho ho and a bottle of cum. I can keep on going.
That's probably fine. Right.
It was a play on the yo ho ho and a bottle of rum.
But it was yo ho ho and a bottle of cum.
Yo ho ho and a bottle of cum.
So it's like basically I lose myself in the music.
Yeah, you lose yourself.
And you're like,
in the
holy
music.
Shit, we were having like a playful rap battle and you started talking about bottles of semen.
Yeah, I think I'm like the idea is like we're gonna have a rap battle right now. you start rapping at me, but it's like you're complimenting me or something. And I say, no, you have to like insult me. Or you're saying, oh, and then you say like, go in on me, you know?
Oh, right.
Right. And I think I like call you dumb or something, or say you look like Harry Potter. Yeah, and then you get really upset.
Nothing personal.
Nothing personal. Nothing that I can't change. Oh yeah. And I say something about your glasses and like you said nothing that you couldn't change. You can't change your glasses. And you
why would I? Yeah. This is perfect for the variety show.
It is the variety show. And then you say yo ho ho and a bottle of cum. You go off. It always got a huge applause.
because it's like it comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, it comes out of nowhere. It's a full ass rap. It's very blue. I believe it ends with me standing ankle deep in semen.
It just turns into a not unlike the title I had for the show.
Yeah, yeah.
It literally turns into a Blumenfeld family fuckfest. Mm-hmm,
yeah. And then it's like you lost yourself in the moment.
Yeah.
And then you say it's time to let it go. It's time to start the show. Thank you, Madison Square Garden Theater.
But you're actually, let's really put our hands together for one William Joe.
Bruce Springsteen walks out, shaking his head.
I really can't fucking wrap my brain around which one of you is which.
Damn it.
God damn it. Which one is this Thunder Road?
What are you hopeful for the future?
An idea that's completely unrelated. It's like thinking of a decade of Jake and Amir, a decade of a podcast. What's our next decade?
Yeah.
What's our third thing?
Our third act.
Yeah. There's got to be something.
What is your 40 to 50?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, and then at that point, we can't be doing comedy anymore.
Right.
Look at 50-year-olds now.
It's yeah.
Disgusting.
It's all been kind of clean for you. 20 to 30, 30 to 40.
Yeah, ish.
Yeah,
ish. Hasn't it been like that for you?
Yeah, ish. Yeah.
Every decade brings a different thing.
Yeah. I was 20 when we started Jake and Amir, I think.
Yeah. At a certain point, we just have to like transition to being like Lorne Michaels is, where it's like, I'm not making comedy anymore, but I'm just overviewing and I have a sense of humor that's like, this is good, this
right.
is not.
We should have more of an opinion. Mm. Like right now when people walk in and they pitch us a podcast, like, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And podcasts are so personal. Good. Whatever right. you want to do.
That's the problem is that we don't watch comedy.
Yeah. No, we love Succession.
Yeah. Which I guess
which
is
a comedy.
Yeah. But we're not watching sitcoms anymore.
No. No, we're not. And we're also not really listening to comedy podcasts. And also podcasts really are so personal that if somebody came in and were like, this is our idea for a show, I wouldn't be like, that's not funny.
Yeah. That'd it really so depends on the human doing the show.
It depends on the guy.
Any person. Show idea could be funny or could not be funny.
Right. And it all could find an audience or not.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything's kind of a coin toss
right.
in the universe.
That's why we're not very good at being executives either. So we really have to maximize this 40 to 50.
We have an amazing executive team here, though.
Yeah, we rely on them heavily.
Yeah.
But that could be the live show version is like the South Park guys who did South Park like when they were young and then transitioned to like Book of Mormon.
I do think, I guess that's like the next thing for us is live stuff because it's like video, audio, what's there after that?
Yeah.
It's IRL.
But what's more exciting? Is it writing something and seeing it on stage whenever you want to? Or is it writing something and being in the thing on stage?
Yeah. I mean, they're both pretty exciting, I guess. I get a good kick out of doing our live shows.
Yeah.
So,
but maybe then, not every time.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be nice to have understudies that did it 95% of the time.
I would fucking love. I mean, really, what we need to do is write our play. That's
the musical.
It. Yeah,
where we're not in it, but we're like almost the narrators of it.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can, if we're the narrators of it, you could just hit a soundboard, and our voice.
We're barely. Yeah. We're voice of God.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really good.
And then, but we'll go to every show for the curtain so we can come out.
Yeah, we want to just sort of quality control the show, make sure that everything's running on time. But at a certain point, if we're not feeling up for it, it's hard to like get yourself going on a Tuesday in February to do the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Let the understudies do the show. And I actually don't even want to write the show.
I want the understudy to write the show too.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
I want to just oversee / not even fun.
I just want
like
a piece of ticket sales
right.
and concessions.
I
and
want
merch.
To create an app that sells tickets.
Yes.
So it's not even
I
like
want to work for Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
And we did almost used to work at Ticketmaster.
Because IAC owned Ticketmaster and College Humor.
Right. So yeah, we went to the same building.
Yes. And maybe that's why it's fucking inceptioned us to think this way.
Yeah.
All right, let's take another break. Thank some sponsors. Come back and talk a little bit more.
Okay.
Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for, and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
That's
need.
That's amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I was high.
Bark box. Yeah, bark box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn,
and
I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most of it yours. Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rocket Money.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back. We asked the people what they wanted.
The long and winding road.
Yeah, I was just going to introduce you for a second.
So far
let me just...
Yeah.
So anyway, I was going to say, we asked...
Can you not interrupt him?
My two boys,
yes.
Fully grown up.
Ooh. And a lot of people said they wanted to see...
Yeah, try not to interrupt Ben. He's singing.
My two friends.
Yeah.
Ben, no more love.
Shh, dude. Ben, a lot of people wanted to...
Yes.
Don't talk over him.
It got bad.
Well, respect
know.
That.
So we were a little conflicted as to whether or not to have Ben on here, just because he's such a part of the fabric of the show, but like, he's a little
the
interrupting.
Touch, the feel, Ben, the fabric of our lives.
Yes, Ben Schwartz in the house. Let's go.
Benny boy.
This is the last If I Were You. It feels just like the first one. Almost the same amount of people listening. Almost the same amount of people caring.
Mm-hmm. We plateaued.
Wonder, was my flies open?
No, I said we plateaued.
We plateaued. But can I tell you this?
Yeah.
How exciting. What number is this? What number?
590?
590.
Oh, you should have done 600. Why would
I was thinking the 600? Same thing.
You think so? Should we fart out another 10 spot while we're here?
I think you got to hit 600. If we're not hitting 600, what are we even doing? Do you know what I mean? My man Jakey Bakey, my name Amir Babirge. What do you guys think you're going to do after this? You've hit the pinnacle. You've hit 590, the number everybody's trying to hope to hit. Now what do you do?
Well, 590 was the goal going into it. We said 10 years ago when you were first on the show, we want to get to 590.
590.
We did that.
Yeah.
Next
and what do you do after you achieve your goals?
Yes,
do we
exactly.
set new ones or do we rest? Do we reset?
We've been talking about a live show, a variety show. What do you think about that?
Oh, I love that idea. You guys do it, but you've done versions of that in the past.
Versions of it. Mm-hmm. Versions of it.
Versions.
But we haven't done a full...
Oh, but you would do a live stream? You would live stream your live show?
No, you have to... If you want to see us now,
you have to see us
at a theater.
That's right.
We're offline.
We're going vaudeville, 1917 style.
How small of a theater? Like 30, 40
No, Jake
people?
Was actually discussing, and he made a good case that we would be able to kiss Jennifer Aniston at the MSG Theater if we opened for Billy Joel
excuse
style.
Me. I didn't lead with the Jennifer Aniston kiss. I said MSG Theater, not the arena.
obviously.
Yeah.
You brought up kissing Aniston.
I thought that came up organically between us in the conversation.
It was not organic. You really.
How would you kiss Aniston? Is it a quick peck because you guys are friends? Is it something on the cheek, or is it more of a
She's visiting a Bruce or a Billy in the green room, right. And I'm there having had shrimp, and then she says hello to me, and I say and hello.
Right. And it's weird if he doesn't.
And you're wait
you
a second.
To Jen Aniston. You want to pretend like you guys run in the same circles. You can't be like, oh my God, Miss Aniston. You have to say,
such a big fan.
You have to say, Jen, it's so good to see you. Kiss on the cheek. Kiss on the other cheek.
Yeah,
kind of European style.
And this is Amir. This is tails, no meat. When you're talking shrimp, right? Just shrimp tails, no meat.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Just the little tip, the crispy tips.
Right. So you're eating. You're eating the exoskeleton of the shrimp.
Yeah, or a krill. Basically mollusk.
Dipping your fingers, two fingers at a time, into the cocktail sauce. Putting it on your teeth.
Yeah, like
and
cocaine.
And that's when you see Janison.
Yeah, that's when I see Janison.
Janison comes up to you.
Oh, Jen.
You're all crispy tips.
Yeah. Oops, all tips. Crispy Jen. Tips. We could do a double smooch.
Oops, all we tips. Do, crispy
yeah,
tips.
Yeah, we'll do a double smooch. But yeah, to answer your question, a live show plus a potential at a theater run if Billy Joel will have us. Otherwise, probably a 200 to 500 seater once every month or two, depending on how much we can get out there on the road.
We're thinking Bell House. Why don't you do
Oh, okay. I was going to say, why don't you do a monthly Largo show at Largo? We can make that happen.
Yeah, do that.
How big is Largo?
270.
Great. Yeah. I love that.
The problem
is
we don't
take
have...
Take care, guys.
We don't have...
All right, bye.
So you do the improv stuff. We don't really have the ability. We don't have the talent. We don't have like the we don't have anything to say on stage.
You said it, talent. Yeah. But so this is what I think. If I could make and I'm gonna pitch some ideas for you guys. Like, what do two people who've been working together since they've been graduated college? All they know is each other.
Yeah.
So how could they possibly grow up and be anything but a team?
Right.
Uh-huh.
What could they do together?
Yeah.
So I'll give you some ideas, and you give me 1 through 10, and tell me what you would do with that business
Great.
Idea.
Okay. And 1 through 10 is us grading your idea, or
like 10 out of 10?
Us
must
grading
do
it. You got to do it. Okay. Hot dog salesman.
2, 5. Obviously, little.
I'm interested because I like hot dogs.
I did have an idea for a corn dog truck where you can sort of mix and match the sausages with the batter, but I don't think that should be our next career move.
Let's give that a 6 then. Because I like hot dogs, and you had the idea already, so let's say 6.
6.
What about a podcast called If You Were I?
Okay.
Mm.
What's that show about?
It's basically you send in questions to your fans, and your fans answer them on the podcast. 2.
Yeah, I'm not eager to do another podcast, but I do like the hot dog thing. I'm going to say the hot dog thing is going up to a 7.
Forget about the hot dog thing. We're already moved on.
It's gone from a 5 to a 6 to a 7 in my mind.
I feel like the hot dog thing was fine. We discussed it, but let's move on and discuss what could be the second.
Well, what are we moving on? You've given it the same number as a hit podcast. So what are you giving it the same 2 as the other one? Just because your Lakers barely eked out a W the other day doesn't mean you can cry every minute you talk.
I don't hate hot dogs.
I know you like hot dogs, but we've already discussed the hot dog thing. We'll take it under.
Well, what about this? What if Jake cooked the hot dogs and you ate the hot dogs, but you weren't allowed to use your hands?
It doesn't matter if it's a hot dog or a hot dog eating contest or a hot dog salesman.
I didn't realize the truck could have a hot dog eating contest element, which is kind of interesting.
See?
I'm going to say that's gone to an 8 in my head.
It does. Yeah.
What if there's a show where Amir had to wear the tightest pants and the loosest shirts, and we call it Here He Goes Again.
Yeah.
And what he does is he put him on and he walks down the street and Jake has to be like, whoa, 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 who's this guy? And like try to draw attention to him to see if he can like sell new styles. What do we think
about
that?
What would people be eating at the craft service table as we're shooting that? Because
This is a blind pitch, but maybe hot dogs.
I don't hate that.
You guys love fucking hot dogs. Those show idea, was that even a show, or you just want me to walk down the street?
Who's this
and have
guy?
Jake
is that
say,
what it was? Who's this guy?
Is that a podcast?
That's great. Who's this
you're
guy?
Wearing,
yeah, loose
you're
shirt,
wearing
tight
jeggings
pants.
And a nightgown.
Is this video? Is this for video? Or you're just saying I walk down the street wearing a certain style?
It's whatever you want it to be, honestly. I just need you to walk down that street with tight pants and a loose shirt.
What are the what's on the feet? Is that like a jelly sandal type thing?
It's a pair of shorts. He's wearing a
shorts
pair of shorts
on
his feet.
It's interesting to me if there's a hot dog element.
Why? It doesn't matter.
What do you guys? Let's be real. Can we be real for
a
second? What will you miss about this? Will you guys not be able to see each other as much now that you're not doing
this?
No,
I think
you won't be able to talk
I'll miss
as much?
The feedback. I think we'll talk to each other just as much. I feel like I'll just miss the feedback from the fans because like they're the ones that are going to be missing out. They're the ones who are not going to be able to see
So
us.
Give me your email.
Give me your email.
Give me your email now and they'll be able to tell you whatever you want. They can give you feedback for the rest of your life.
Should we say your email? I know it. Your personal email?
I know too. I emailed you just like two minutes ago.
Doesn't matter.
Why don't we shout out his email?
Okay. Big top small bot at gmail.
Hot dog boy at AOL. .net.
Yum, yum, yum. Eat up those doggies at Yahoo.
Honestly, what we're most excited about is being offline, it seems like, is the idea of a live show where we don't have to deal with the production elements of recording and distribution. It's like, you, if you want to see us, you have to see us IRL.
Analog. I'm off Twitter. I'm off Instagram.
Podcast
I'm just in a fucking theater.
You own a podcast network. You said the thing I'm trying not to deal with is the thing that your job is.
Yeah, that's true. And it's sort of, we contain multitudes that way. What about Jake and Amir colon IRL?
IRL.
Jake, so it's TRL, but it's IRL.
Well, it'd be J&A IRL.
Gerald.
Yes.
Gyral. Yes, exactly. And to see us, you have to see it to believe it.
What's the funniest thing that's happened on this show?
Today's episode?
Can you remember both of you guys, without looking at the other thing, what's the, where you're like, oh my God, this made me laugh harder than any, we've done 590 episodes. This is the moment that made me laugh harder than anything else. Or do all the moments mesh into each other so much that you don't care about anything
laughing
anymore?
So hard that we cried.
We've definitely done that.
But I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
I haven't laughed genuinely on this show since 2014. I'm trying to remember when the last time that we also laughed so hard.
You just laughed 2 seconds when I said you're a little boy that wants to eat dogs.
It was performative. I wonder if in the old episodes, like one of the bits or
I guess
like
when you did your freestyle rap from when you were like 12.
My dad's
a gyno and your dad's a rhino. Yeah. I was laughing really hard.
That's funny.
That. But that was recent. And I don't know if that's like the hardest I ever laughed during the show. I've like thrown up from laughing during this show.
Yeah. There was a point where like you were drinking something you thought you were going to puke.
Yeah.
But
I couldn't remember what that was.
I haven't smiled genuinely on this program since probably the first 10 episodes.
Yeah. Right. But you're going through your own shit.
Yes.
You're going through a really dark time.
Yeah, since 2013. Yeah. Since late 2013. Since late 2023.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a hard decade for you.
It's been a crazy decade.
Really,
my 30s. My entire 30s was on the show, and now it's over. Now I'm 40 and the show's...
Your entire 20s were with Jake also. You guys have spent 20 years... Since I've known both of you, you spent every minute of your life with each other.
Yeah.
So it's got to be a little bit heartbreaking for this aspect to end.
Well, yeah. I mean, I didn't really think of it that way.
Jake... Is there anything you want to say to Amir?
I've regretted meeting you, man.
I regretted
meeting you, man. Yeah.
What?
I've regretted meeting you, dude.
Your life would be completely
good. This is good.
Better.
Amir, don't interrupt him. Don't interrupt him. Keep going, Jake.
I think
this isn't helpful. You're not a fucking therapist.
I'm just saying, if I had,
and this is why I'm
if
here.
If I had hitched myself to any other wagon with all the people at College Humor. Dan Gurwitch, multiple Emmy winner, Streeter Side Out, SNL, Sarah Schneider, sold her own show.
Ricky
we've done
Van
so
Bean,
much together. Yeah. I'm just saying, it feels like if I had chosen another writing partner, I would have had a little more success. It has been really fun.
Has it? Because he said not the entire time,
because every time when I look in the rearview mirror, I'm full of regret.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
I
do want to say that you've weighed me down professionally and comedically. But all that being said,
bombshell, by the way, to hear.
And I want to say, all that being
said, at the end of 20 years,
at the end of the
day,
stop, Amir, stop. This is why you're so bad.
At the end of the day, all that being said, I do regret you.
That's,
man.
Yeah, that wasn't a turn. It wasn't like, although, however, but it was like, in addition to that,
now,
I just don't want to,
Amir. Yeah. Now, listen, so basically what Jake is saying is
I know what he's saying. It was so blunt.
You've ruined his life. Well, it's...
Ruined my life. My life and career. My career and life are intertwined. And being,
But what he's saying is,
but
he regrets working
with
you.
Yeah, so I think the big thing takeaway here is that he doesn't know what but means, because it should have been and.
Okay, do you have anything you want to say to Jake?
Yeah, I thought I was going to have like an awesome time and like to have like a fun like retrospecticus about like this entire fucking like 2 decades together, building up to this one moment, deciding what we should do in the not too distant future together. But now, ever since you came on, the energy has completely shifted to the point where I feel like everything I've known for the past 20 years is not.
I feel like the hot dog thing has legs.
The hot dog thing is such a small,
huge legs, and
such
I think
a
that we
small
can make this
part
happen.
Of what we heard. Because like since the hot dog thing, Jake has basically admitted to not liking me and regretting meeting me.
Not regretting meeting you, regretting working.
Regret is big.
That was 18 years ago.
Yeah. He doesn't regret meeting you because he's met so many people in his life, but regret hitching his ride to you.
Exactly.
Is what
deciding to be partners.
So the idea of the hot dog thing is such a small thing in the grand scheme of things. Now, well, I don't know.
I don't hate the hot Amir, dog thing. But I think that this is the problem. I think you don't listen totally, Amir. Because yeah. if you listen to him, heard it. You can hear the positive. You can hear the positive, which
no,
he
at
said.
The end, because he said, but, and then he repeated himself. But, yeah. But
no,
he has regrets.
He said, but. Yeah. He said, but. You've weighed me down my entire career. Correct. If I went with anybody else, I'd have a better
That's also
career.
What he said before the butt.
But, yeah. but all that aside, all but, that aside,
yeah.
I do regret
yeah.
you
right.
being a part
exactly.
of me.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You regret it.
At the end of the day, I regret it. What do you want me to say?
Of course, I don't want you to.
Do you want him to lie? It's
no,
the last
I don't want
show.
Him to lie.
Why would he lie in the last
I guess
show?
I regret him lying for the last 18 years for sure because I had no idea this was coming. This is a bombshell. This
shake
is,
his
I'm
hand.
Blindsided.
Shake his hand. Jake his hand. Jake his
what
hand.
What does that mean? To shake it?
It's a shake, but you'll see when he how
yeah.
he shakes it. Jake it.
Yeah. That's a Jake. Yeah.
I've never felt that before.
Yeah.
Have you Jake'd his hand before?
Well, it's your first time you're ever actually seeing Jake for the first time because he's being honest.
You're an agent
with
you for
the of
chaos.
Time.
You sowed an entire decade's worth of discord in the last 9 minutes of being on the show.
What's your name, by the way?
Me? I got a very normal name.
Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Why would I have to introduce it? It's like saying if my name was just a normal, it's a normal name. I don't have to say what
sure,
my name is.
Yeah, it just doesn't matter. Just, you know, casually mention it.
What do you want? You want the first one or the second one?
Yeah, you can do both.
Second one,
oh, your
first,
first
one.
Your second. You mean your last name?
Your
the
full
second
name.
One. Yeah, just you
your
say
full
your full
name.
Name. Just
my, both of them are normal, so it doesn't even matter.
Right.
Just imagine anybody's normal
right.
name.
Like
that's
a
what
Bob Johnson.
Exactly.
Or a Ron Thompson.
Yeah.
Or something like
that. Very similar to those
okay.
two, but it's like my
yeah.
name.
It's your
it's
personal
mine.
Name. Yeah. yeah. So feel free to...
So we don't even have to get into it. We
well,
got
even
it.
People that have normal names would say them when prompted, I feel
And we
like,
should introduce
so.
You.
Yeah, we
so
should
like, it's important
you.
For us to say what your name is.
Yeah.
All right, then just introduce
okay.
me. Yeah. Do you know my name?
I thought I did, but it sounds like you're...
Yeah,
it's a completely bizarre name by the fact that you're refusing to even say...
I'm so sorry. Are you talking about my name? You want to know
yeah.
my name is?
So we're Jake and Amir, and we're here with...
My normal name.
Exactly. You would say it then. You
yes.
would say it then when I... When I point to you.
Yeah.
Oh, point yeah. to me. Sorry, I didn't even know.
We are Jake and Amir. Yeah. We are here with...
Lazarus Sherpant.
Huh?
Lazarus.
Lazarus Sherpant.
Sherpant.
Pleasure to meet you.
That's what you...
Lazarus Sherpant.
You
Lazarus.
Set that up as the most normal name, but those two things were... I've never heard those noises before. Sherpant?
What are you talking about? Lazarus Sherpant?
Lazarus Sherpant.
First name Lazarus?
The whole first name is Lazarus.
So there's
Sherpant.
A last name in addition to all that.
You asked. You want Lazarus Sherpant?
Well, we said
first
and
first
last.
Name, Lazarus Sherpant. Okay. Yeah. Well, do you want
Lazarus
to know my last
Sherpant?
Name? It's even more normal than the first.
Yeah.
Name.
I really hope so because that's insane, Lazarus Sherpant. It has to be more normal than your first name. What's your last name?
By the way, you did say you
it's
had a normal
a
first
normal...
and last name. So. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're good. Do we even need to get
I'm
into it?
I'm curious what it is now because I thought I was expecting a Sam or a Sean. And I heard Lazarus Sherpant.
That's exactly what it is.
No, it's not.
That's exactly what it is.
That's
it
the
sounds
first
like it gave you
very
the idea.
Similar. It's very similar to Sam.
Okay,
as
well,
a last name,
Lazarus Sherpant.
Charbelite Cramp.
Hyphenated.
Yes.
Yes, and your dad was one of them. Your mom was the other.
How is that similar to Sean?
No, that's the first half. Then a hyphen. Charbelite Cramp hyphen. Doorknob. So
I'm sorry.
The whole thing. Lazarus Krantz.
Lazarus
yeah,
Sherpant.
First name. Last
Cran,
name.
Cran something?
I already forgot, honestly.
Doorknob?
Doorknob, yeah.
Doorknob.
Crandallin? Yeah. Crandallin Doorknob?
Yeah.
So, this has got to be your 20th appearance on our show.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard that name before in my entire life.
Maybe ask more
Check
questions.
Check out his IMDb.
Maybe that's why Jake
Check
hates
out his
you.
IMDb.
Holy shit, he changed it.
Lazarus Sherpant.
Crandallin Doorknob is going to be on fucking Renfield. How dope is that?
Wait, so when will I ever be able to do bits with you guys again in a public manner? I guess it's over.
Well, you'll come to our live show. You'll be a part of our...
Never. I literally would never come to your live show. What am I going to do at your live
Sell
show?
Sell hot dogs.
Oh, man.
All right. All right.
I'm sad. This makes me sad, guys. It means that Jake probably won't be in LA as much either.
I'll still be in LA a lot. Well, maybe less.
Cool.
Maybe less. Yeah.
I bet
yeah,
way
I
less.
Yeah, I bet way less. I'll see you sometime, man.
I guess I can zoom with you. And what about you, Amir? Does that just leave you by yourself?
Well, I have all my other, all the other shit that I'm working on.
Yeah, what?
I'm working on. Jake has the Dungeons and Dragons show.
Yeah, it's hugely popular. He's touring like different countries.
And I'm trying to do a comic book thing next year.
Graphic. You're drawing a comic book?
No, I don't know how to draw, but I'm thinking of graphic novel ideas for next
year. You're trying to do one next year?
I'm trying to think of ideas for a graphic novel next year.
All right, what's an idea? We can tell you if you're on the right path.
Well, it's kind of ironic, so I don't know if you like dark, ironic themes.
I love dark stuff, yeah. Yeah. Of course.
So it's like a kid who's turning into a boy, like a bar mitzvah style man, or transition.
A kid turning into a boy.
A kid who's turning into a boy? That's not what a bar mitzvah is.
And then finally.
Bar mitzvah is a boy turning into a man, yeah. Right?
That's not a bad idea. And then
kid turning into a boy is...
A kid turning into a boy is the same thing.
Right, so the entire thing is sort of an allegory for a bar mitzvah, so you have to read from the Torah in order to become a man, or in my case,
is this a religious text?
Like, what's that?
Sorry, you're...
It has religious overtones, and then it takes place in like a fictionalized Chicago.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a bar mitzvah meets Chicago style, not with music, because... When it comes to graphic novels, it has to be like very visual and not like you can't hear anything.
I wonder what you're going to look like in 2 years. In my head, it's terrible. I think you're going to look terrible in 2 years. I think this is going to be a big moment in your life where you just crash.
I don't feel like I've aged that.
Thanks for saying that, Ben.
Why?
Of course.
I just think his insight is useful.
Of course.
It's helpful to hear things. It's helpful
like
to,
look mostly the
you know,
same.
That's some really nice Ben insight, which I think is valuable, and that's something that I'll really miss.
How is the Dungeons & Dragons podcast going,
I thought it was as big as it could possibly get, but it keeps on growing. It's so
that's awesome.
It's exciting.
That's really cool.
It's thrilling. Just got back from Australia.
So basically this
planning
child,
another world
this,
tour for next year.
Yeah, this tweenager, this 12-year-old.
So yeah,
this child, this kid boy.
Yes, this kid boy, which is the name of the show.
You say there's going to be Torah text in the graphic novel?
In the background. So, like, there are going to be, like, little imagery. That, like, oh, my God, is that a fucking wallpaper? Or is it my Torah portion? Style graphic art.
Uh-huh.
And then, Ben, do you remember from your bar mitzvah, you can't touch the Torah, you have to use a yad? Like,
yeah, you have to use a
pointer exactly.
thing.
So that pointer thing is his actual hand. That yad, which means hand or arm in Hebrew, is his yad, is his hand.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Of course,
on,
thank
everybody.
You so much for coming by.
So good to see you, Ben.
And if you have anything to plug, whether it's Renfield, your Radio City Music Hall show, a lot of exciting things coming up.
Oh, yeah, I do actually. So I'm going on tour. Ben Schwartz and Friends, my improv show, is going on tour. We're playing Radio City Music Hall in New York, a 6,000 person venue, the first long form improviser ever to do that. Or I think first improviser ever to headline that.
Holy
theater.
Shit.
Huge.
But also, we're coming to Toronto, we're coming to England. You go to rejectedjokes.com and all those dates are there. It's very, very
exciting.
You
have exciting, a whole tour.
It's not about plugging. I don't want to plug. Yeah. This isn't about
it's not about you. It's about...
This is about saying goodbye to two of my close
friends.
We'll
still
friends, talk. Saying goodbye to their friendship.
We'll hang out.
Saying goodbye to their creative opportunities.
Yeah, exactly. I think we'll still be together.
And saying goodbye to Amir's career.
No,
the
end
of a
career.
I feel like I'm,
it's
now,
the
I,
end of a career. And
it's
I think
an
that's
exciting moment
cool.
for me. I think I'm excited by it because I don't feel like I have
this
thing that's like
to celebrate.
Over.
Sorry, you're talking so fast.
It's fun to celebrate.
Amir, you're talking so fast.
I feel like the Jewish comic thing that you have going is...
It's not just Jewish, but I can understand where you are coming from because you sort of cut me off in the middle of the description, but it does encompass an entire coming-of-age sort of theme. Right. So it's not just about the yacht.
Jewish
and it's not
kid
just about...
boy is kind of interesting.
Really?
Jewish kid boy.
I
like
could sink my teeth
boy.
Into something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and I think you should. And I think you should. And thank you, Ben, for coming on. For...
Damn.
Oh,
for
my,
gracing
this is an
us
honor
with your presence.
I would never miss the last one. I was here for number 100. I think I was here for number 500.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How many times do you think I've been on the show? I've probably dropped by more than a couple times.
It's been like the live shows and the shows
10,
that you come by and the shows that you've interrupted.
15.
There was an episode where it was just me and you, remember?
Where was I?
Yeah, you were sick, remember? We went to my little room in my apartment and you were so sick.
Yeah, you faced...
That was before everybody got COVID,
right,
though.
And you were so like attuned to not getting sick that you actually faced away from me during the show.
Did
and
you get
one
sick
of the best
afterwards?
Shows. People said, Jake, it was one of the best shows. Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah.
because Amir said room. Amir literally licked his finger and put his finger in my gums and said gum alert.
Yeah.
Right. That was like a thing he does.
That was before we were recording video, so we didn't really get to see that.
Yeah, we didn't even need to see it.
Yeah.
That is a lost episode. It must still be online. We can listen to it today.
For sure.
Actually, let's listen to
How
it right
How long
now.
Have we been doing this?
10 years.
How long have we been friends? Do you think we met in 2004?
No,
2007.
2007, yeah. I think 2007.
2007. So 17 years. 18 years? 17 years. 18 years. 16
wow.
years.
16 Even, years. No matter what number is the right one, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
because new friends become old over time, which is sort of brings me back to Jewish kid boy. And I think, yeah, he's out, which is fine. It actually makes sense for him to leave like that.
Wow.
Because he doesn't need to, he didn't want to hear any spoilers. Right.
Yeah.
It was sad for him to be like, now I, he wants to have it in his imagination how it could possibly go, and he didn't want to hear
that. Is the way it should have ended.
It should have ended, and it did end that way. And that was Ben Schwartz, everybody.
Thanks, Ben.
I guess we could take these off. Okay, that's it. We have nothing else to discuss, nothing else to say. We've waxed and waned philosophical.
Yeah.
We've reminisced. We've listened to theme songs. Did I even say who did the second theme song that we listened to?
I don't think you did.
It was Matthew Pope, another Matthew. He wanted to shout out his friends Will Lawson, Lewis Cochran, and especially Andrew Lavis, who got me into the show.
Wow. All right.
Looking forward to whatever's left. Next.
Whatever's left.
Whatever's left of
us. What's next is whatever is left.
I mean, we have to keep people abreast, keep people posted. I wish we had a...
Yeah. There's no announcement.
A newsletter.
Right. Oh, yeah. Actually, we had one at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we handed it off to HeadGum.
I guess all you can do is just stay subscribed to this feed, because that's where we'll... Maybe we could just drop some, like, you know, two-minute conversations where we are ideating or something.
Yeah, mini-announcements.
Yeah, mini-announcements or updates.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be kind of nice.
Yeah, that way people are kept abreast.
We can call our new feed Follow-Up Pup, or we'll just kind of mention any progress on your graphic novel or something.
Yeah, little leaks on our Patreon of pages that are sort of been kicked around with a graphic illustrator.
You can follow. We have the socials for Jake and Amir now, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, we own them.
Yeah,
they're
ours
now.
It's nice to own Jake and Amir again while this is all ending. So at the very least, follow at Jake and Amir on stuff.
I will say I tried to post something to our Facebook page recently, and they're like, "We need to verify your address and send you a letter, and then you can punch in the code that we give you." And I didn't even
send you a letter in the mail.
Yeah, they need to like verify a physical address.
So our Facebook is gone.
Our Facebook is not.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine. That feels fine.
It's okay to let that part of us go.
Yeah,
because we're still on TikTok. We're still on the tweets. We're still on the grams.
Exactly.
And you guys are still here and supporting us. We will never check this email address, this Gmail address, close for business.
We should say thank you to everybody. We should say thank you. I think that
that's a good call.
I remember it was scary when we started the podcast, because I was like, is anybody going to give a shit about what we have to say? Because they like Jake and Amir videos.
This is us out of character.
Yeah. We've never been out of character before.
Yeah.
And I think it was very fun and very rewarding to like connect with people as ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you everybody for allowing this whole thing to work.
And even more so to the day ones, as always.
Yeah.
If you've been with us since day one,
respect to the
we
day
respect
ones.
You even more than new fans. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we actually, compared to you, the new fans suck.
Yeah. Like, new fans,
fuck off.
Mute it for a second.
Yeah.
But y'all are trash. Y'all are trash.
No, thank
all
you,
right,
everybody.
Turn it back
thank
on.
Thank you, everybody. Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, equally.
For everybody, thank you.
And thanks to you guys for sending in theme songs and questions for a decade straight.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the theme song might be the best part of the show.
Yeah, people put a lot of effort into the theme songs and it shows.
And we never had to repeat. We had enough talented fans to go 590 episodes, sometimes two per episode.
And we sometimes forget to even shout you out and thank you, and you still keep on making up theme songs.
One more time, that's Matthew Pope earlier.
Right on.
And there was another Matthew Kazakos.
Yeah, and his brother.
We wanted to end on a fun, high punk rock note. So I found a fun punk rock theme song to close this out. That is by Dustin. Let me see.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of punk rock, I believe Fade on Shuffle, we just released a new one. There's a new Fade on Shuffle song. It's a cover. It's a cover of Hercules.
I Can Go the Distance.
I Can Go the Distance. So check it out.
So when you say we, because that's, you just do the writing. That one's already written.
Right.
So what did you do for that one?
So I'm kind of like the front man of the band.
You're not singing it.
Not at this stage, I'm not singing that song. So it is a cover.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody has to, I mean, like any good pop punk band, they'll have their originals and they'll have a cover. Somebody has to have an idea for what to cover.
Was that your idea?
In this case, that was Gareth's idea. To cover that song.
Specifically.
That song specifically. But I said, when he said that idea, I was like, not immediately. I kind of was like, are you sure we should do that?
And
I vetoed
it.
He did it anyway. I heard it. I loved it. So
I do like the song.
It's a great song.
I haven't heard the the pop punk cover, but I do like that.
Well, we're gonna have to lean on Gareth heavily when we start making our own music.
Yeah, lean on Gareth and lean on this guy Dustin Clark. It would be an honor to be played on the last episode of If I Were You. So here we go. I've made half a dozen theme songs for you over the years. The post-election one, Other Side of Hard Country. They've all been original tunes. Nothing to shout out except for the awesome community of Jake and Amir fans out there, all of which are funnier than the show ever was.
Yes, agreed.
We don't disagree.
Yeah.
So let's have Dustin play us out.
Before we go.
Yeah.
Last episode, last award.
Wait.
I think,
no.
I think I earned the golden mic on this one. So I want to say thank you to everybody for this unprecedented, I'm so excited. Unprecedented run.
Why did you shake? Why did you want to shake my hand? Why did you want to hold my hand?
Are you not proud of me? 590 golden mics. It's a pretty big deal. I'm not gonna let anger seep into this.
Let me go. You're holding me so firm.
This is pretty exciting. This is pretty exciting and unprecedented. Let's not let a petty grievance sow discord among us to ruin this last episode, this final moment, because you do get the turdy, and I think that's pretty neat. I think that's pretty neat.
Why do I get the turdy?
These are two unprecedented runs. You derailed the whole Ben conversation with your little Jewish kid boy thing.
The hot dog thing was tacky.
It was weird. It was weird. So I want to say I'm cheese chuffed, honored to be here.
You're holding me on. Your hands are so slippery, and it's like you're holding tight.
Crab claws.
Yeah, we're fucking back.
We're back. The pinch. The Holy pinch advance. Shit.
So we did it. The entire run. The entire run had golden mics for you and turdies. Turdies for me.
I can give you a sympathy golden mic.
That'd be incredible.
Do you want one?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll take a sympathy golden mic.
You get a sympathy golden mic.
That's the same as a golden mic. Sympathy is just describing the golden mic that I've won. It's not a separate award, right?
It's not. It is a golden mic. It's a golden mic. You are going to end this show with your first ever.
This one? The one that you're
sympathy
holding?
Sympathy golden mic. It's a little different. It's a sympathy golden mic. It's kind of a rose gold.
You're saying you've won 500 golden mics. I've won 500 turdies. And I have one rose gold mic.
One rose gold
bronze
sympathy
mic.
Golden mic.
I mean, I'll fucking take it.
Nice, man. Congrats.
Thanks to you guys.
Absolutely
we'll be back
huge.
In a year or five.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard it all before, but I kept on falling for every joke and shitty lie. And I know you didn't mean to be more than that or anything, but it happened anyway. It's hard to change your point of view.
A HeadGum Original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are.
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Leitman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.